You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome back to Cartoon Afternoon for DuckTales Season 1, Episode 8, The Living Mummies of Tothra. I'm one of your hosts, Michael Cohen.
And I am your other host, Curtis Findlay.
And finally, we get an adventure. Finally.
Yeah. Now, I do want to say, though, that this the level of adventure on this one is pretty on par with, like, you know, facing a giant frog demon going through a death trap and... or I don't know, some of like the giant robot rampaging through the money bin.
Yep.
It's just that this was on location.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was, I thought it was a great episode.
Oh, totally.
But in that respect, it was a bit of a letdown. Especially, I mean, like we do get the reveal towards the end that it is in fact a mummy, a real.
Right.
Cursed mummy, but for a while there they make you think like, oh, there's not going to be any magic at all in this episode. So
no, but my point was that people have been bemoaning, and us too, we've sure. been bemoaning yep. the fact that there have been no adventures, but they're actually the show has actually been pretty adventurous so far, even with you know, keeping it in Duckburg. I think the last episode, the Mark Beeks episode, was the least adventure filled episode that we've had.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. I'm sure that once they get through these first few episodes that at some point it'll start to pick up especially once we get into the mythology based stuff. I'm sure that there will be a little bit more of the classic adventuring. But
and once Magica makes her appearance and stuff. But you know, the thing that this episode showed me was that and I mean, I knew this, I've known this all along, is that the comedy really takes center stage even in these adventure, quote unquote, adventure filled stories. It was still like the main motivation behind a lot of these characters' actions was based on running gags. So, and that's just something that everyone who's a fan of the old DuckTales needs to get used to for this DuckTales.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very different beast. It's much more comedy writing focused. So, the pacing and the types of adventures are going to be a little bit different. I was very surprised by this episode and what it ended up being.
But, right.
Yeah, but I mean, I also ended up really, really liking it. There's a lot of really funny moments, and it's nice to have sort of the whole team together.
Yeah, that was nice. Everyone was in this one.
Yeah.
Except for Beakley, but I don't think Beakley's technically part of the team.
Yeah.
Not the core team.
Yeah.
What was interesting about this one is that we get no preamble. They are just there inside the pyramid, already in their adventure. And then at the end of the adventure, they're still in Egypt. And so it's like, why are they there? And why, like, usually we see the events that lead up to them going to where they're going. But no, it plunks us right in the middle of this adventure that they're on.
Yeah, just right into the important part of the story, for sure. Not even like them getting to the pyramid, but they're like in the pyramid already. So
yeah,
it's yeah, they definitely cut out the middleman in that transaction, and they're just like, here you go, you want adventure, here's an adventure. Here, let's read the description really quick. Okay. In a lost pyramid, Louis interprets a pharaoh's prophecy to his advantage, forcing Scrooge and Launchpad to convince a group of living mummies to rescue him. This one aired on October 28th, 2017. Writer Madison Bateman and director Dana Terrace. Top three moments. What's your first one?
Well, you know, it's funny because we write these down. Yeah. So we can see each other's top three moments, and we have kind of the same top moments here.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they're just great. Now, of course, we're going to talk about the burritos, because I love a good running gag, and this was a fantastic running gag.
Yes.
And the fact that it was the reason why this civilization of living mummies is going to rise up against this evil dictator, Tothra,
yeah,
because of burritos, it's just hilarious. And leave it to Launchpad to be the one to instigate all of that.
Yeah, yeah. And I love when they're doing their
the training montage, seven,
so like that I sort of training the villagers,
yeah,
montage. Everybody else is working on stuff, and then Launchpad is teaching them how to wrap burritos.
Which turns out to be the critical maneuver at the end of the episode. Day. It's, yeah, like, and that's the prime storytelling here. Like, everything in this episode plays out to perfection. Like, everything that happens has a purpose by the end of the episode.
Yeah, yeah, fantastic. And the burritos is definitely one of my favorite elements of this episode as well. One of the other really great parts of this episode. I think we can talk about the two different parts that I think were really stand out. But Louis really, really steals this episode.
I think so, yeah.
And he has a couple of really great lines. But the first one that I really loved is, and it was in the preview, as long as you can talk your way out. Trademark Louis Duck. I love how, how focused they are on the characters and how consistent they are, and that, like, they really nail it.
There is one moment, I think it's before the theme song, where Huey is explaining, I should have written this down, 'cause it was really great. Huey's explaining the scientific facts about mummies.
Yeah.
And Dewey's like disappointed that there's no adventure. And so Huey, you know, just to make him happier, starts talking about how there's, like, it's not just one mummy, it's 10 mummies or something like that, and they're guarding a treasure. And then Louis pops in his head and it's like, treasure? Where's the treasure? It's like, it just popped. That's all three of them in,
yeah,
like, two sentences. It wrapped all three of the personalities up.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and they're getting pretty good at balancing those characters out and letting them each have their moments in an episode. One of the most I really liked as well was it Dewey? I think it was Dewey teaching the mummies how to be mummies. Right.
Yeah. Right.
And it sort of culminates in the final battle with the he's like, mummy squad, do your thing or whatever, and they start dancing, and it's this great move for move recreation of the Thriller dance.
Yeah.
That is just so fantastic. It's one of those things where it's like, obviously kids are gonna think that this is funny, but they don't get it. But no. If you're older, if you're our age, that is,
oh yeah,
like, so iconic. And they do it so well. Like, they nail it, and I love it. It was such a great moment. But completely useless. It's just so funny, because they build that up, that Dewey is kind of teaching them how to be proper mummies, because he wants to see scary mummies. And then in the moment when they're actually fighting the mummy, he brings out his dance squad. I love that part.
Well, I like when Huey's in the treasure vault. He seems to me to act a little bit more like Scrooge than Scrooge does around treasure. Scrooge didn't even see any of the treasure in this episode, but Louis saw it, and he was going crazy over it. And I love that he was like in love with this sickle that wasn't there. And
yeah,
it was like hello there, and talking sweet to it and stuff.
I love how by the end of the episode, he's like grabbed a bunch of stuff, and they actually like changed his character model, where he's got like the chest piece on, and he's kind of got like
multiple
all this stuff.
Rings on every finger, and
yeah, and I love that, because it's such a thing of like you see him gather it as they go through, and then at the end of the episode he's covered in this stuff, and operating the pulleys and stuff, and making the mummy talk, and I said Louis kind of steals this episode. He has a lot of really great moments, and I like the dynamic. I like how they're splitting the characters up and letting them play off of each other, so we get a Louis Webby dynamic going in this one, and then the other dynamic I think is the Scrooge launchpad dynamic, both like inside the Forbidden Chamber and outside of it. So they did a really great job of pairing these characters up. And if you go back to the Terror of the Terrafermians episode, we had the Huey and Dewey, and Webby was part of that as well, but it was really Huey and Dewey going back and forth on, oh, you're too cautious, oh, you're too reckless, that whole thing. And they've done a really great job of letting the characters shine by making them play off of each other. And one of the other really great moments is, I don't have it written down, but it's when they're being sacrificed or whatever, and Webby starts correcting the guy, and then they escape. And Louie's like, great thinking. That was you're really fast thinking on your feet. And she's like,
yeah, of that phony prop, phony sacrifice stuff.
Yeah, and she's like, no, that wasn't phony. And he was like, wait, you were helping? And she's like, well, if you're gonna die inside a mummy's tomb or whatever, you got to do it right. I love, like, Webby has such a weird skewed perspective. And it always comes out in these great humorous ways.
Oh yeah, her other line was, "I never dreamed I would actually die on a floor of spears or whatever it's called,
impaled on a spike."
Impaled, yeah. And she's like, well, "I mean, I always hoped, but
yeah, it's too good. It's too good, yeah." What's your last one?
I liked how they coined the phrase pulling a Louie
in
this episode. And it's like, I think Louie definitely has more of a focus than the other three, of the brothers. And you can tell because they're building this whole vocabulary around Louie that they don't have for the other ones. Well, yet. I mean, I guess maybe we could, but
yeah.
Hopefully, I don't know if that's just going to stick with this episode. It's probably just a running gag for this one episode, but I like that phrase, pulling a Louie.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I can't remember who says, somebody says something to him, and then afterwards he's like, it's all about the branding. This is so good. Such a great moment. But lots of really funny stuff in this episode. And we've just kind of touched on a few parts, but there's actually a lot that was really, really good in this one. So.
Oh, yeah. It was a well-crafted story.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. Well, what do we have for behind the scenes?
I just wanted to make a few notes about some of the guest voice actors that we had in this episode. Some famous people who have been around the block for quite a while here. The mummy Amunet and a couple of other just generic mummies were voiced by Cree Summer, mm-hmm. Who people, fans of Teen Titans, will know as Raven, and she's done so many other voices over the years. Elmira from Tiny Toon Adventures, for instance. She's a fantastic voice actor, so it was good to see her here as well. Mm. There's one of the only other mummies that gets a line, I don't even remember what it is, talking about burritos. He also is the burrito salesman, is Fred Tatasciore, who is the voice of the Hulk these days. Anytime Hulk is on any cartoon, he's the voice of the Hulk. So again, cool to see him there in a completely different role. And then Toth Ra and Sabath, the guy who's controlling Toth Ra, are both voiced by Basim Yusuf, who is actually Egyptian. Nice. So it was kind of cool that they actually cast an Egyptian actor to play that role, and he did a great job. And so I was also wondering, before this episode came out, I had only read the title The Living Mummies of Toth Ra, and so I was wondering if they were going to pronounce it Toth Ra or Toth Ra, because I know there's a really famous comic book artist called Alex Toth.
Mm.
And he worked on not just all these adventure comics and stuff, but he was also big in animation, and he was one of the character designers between a whole bunch of the Hanna-Barbera TV series like Super Friends and stuff, and worked on Johnny Quest. And I thought it would be fitting to have this mummy episode have the title Toth Ra, to kind of be a little reference to Alex Toth. But they kept on pronouncing it Toth, except for Basim Yusuf, because mm-hmm. his accent made it sound like Toth Ra. And Scrooge mm-hmm. sometimes made it sound like Toth Ra. So I don't know if that was an indirect reference or not.
Interesting.
Yeah, I just saw that there. And then there's the obvious Wizard of Oz parallels in this episode.
Yeah.
With the guy that's controlling the giant figure from behind the curtain. And then Scrooge says the line, "Let my children go," which I think is a reference to the Ten Commandments movie, or even just the biblical story of Moses talking to the Pharaoh of Egypt to let all of the Israelites go. And he says the line is, "Let my people go."
Yeah.
I'm sure that's got to be a reference, since we're in Egypt in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they're talking to the Pharaoh in a way.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
Other than that, I was looking all over the walls at all those hieroglyphics, thinking, mm-hmm. "Oh, there's got to be some Easter eggs in here somewhere," but I didn't notice anything.
I didn't notice anything either.
So, if there are any eagle-eyed listeners out there who did notice something, please let us know, and we'll mention it in the next episode, because mm-hmm. I'm very interested to know if we missed something there.
For sure. Cool. Well, I think now we should check in with our Junior Woodchuck podcast and see what they think. This episode.
My name is Milo.
My name is
Peter.
This is the Junior Woodchuck podcast, and you guys are going to learn about the living mummies of Toth Ra. Peter, what was your favorite part?
Well, my favorite part was when Toth Ra came alive.
My favorite part was when Launchpad was explaining about burritos.
When it was the end of the show, I got
hungry for burritos. It was really good.
I got hungry for tacos at the end.
Really?
Tacos.
Okay, snap out of it. You snap out of it.
What's your silliest part?
Jinx. Oh, whatever. What's your funniest part, Peter?
My funniest part was when Launchpad said, like, Scrooge was doing a big speech, and then Launchpad is like, crunch. And then
Scrooge is like, what was that? And then Launchpad was like, sorry, I didn't want my tummy to growl while you did your speech like it did right now. Well, that was really funny.
My favorite part was when all of the living mummies said, what's that? And Launchpad said, it's just a burrito.
Really? That's pretty funny.
Yeah, we learned about burritos.
Actually, no, that's not it.
Burritos.
This is it. Well, actually, two lessons. Wait, before we talk about the lessons, this is like the 11th one that we did, I feel like. How many did we do?
9.
This is our 9th one that we did. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about our favorite, like, bad guys. I mean, next afternoon. Talk about the...
Now, my favorite bad guy was the main bad guy.
Which one?
The main bad guy.
You mean the mommy?
Yeah, the memmy.
The memmy.
The memmy.
Anyways. Mommy. Anyways, my favorite boss was...
Boss?
Well, bad guy. Was the toad in the Lucky Gander. And it was really funny because he is really good. The Temple of the Lucky Gander, I like the boss in that one, but we're not talking about that one yet. Anyways, the two lessons were, first was, To never not listen to anyone. To never not listen. Because when Greenie was like in the treasure patch, Webby didn't want him to touch anything, but he did anyway.
Touch every single thing. Like, how are you, darling? I missed you.
I know, and well, they got captured for that. And the second lesson is to never listen to orders that you have to listen to. Because Tothroff made them do stuff that they didn't want them to do. So you should never listen to what other people say. Even monsters.
What if your teacher says you have to do your homework, but you don't want to do your homework?
Stop! We're not talking about school. Got it, guys? Guys, we're done here. Bye.
See you next
afternoon.
Okay, Mike, what is your lucky dime rating for this episode?
I'm going to give this 4 dimes out of 5. I really enjoyed this one. This is one that I could see going back and rewatching. Because there was a lot of really, really great jokes, and there's stuff that maybe I'll notice on the second time around that I didn't notice the first time. The animation is just so good. There's so many great little pieces in this one. This is a lot of fun to watch, so I really liked it.
Good. Yeah, me too. I think I'm also going to give this one a 4. Because I enjoyed it much more than the previous few episodes that we have had. Like you said, the action is just great. The animation, again, yeah, really, really fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
All around, voice acting, the jokes were funny. Good job, team. I think it was, it's worth 40 cents, I think. For a grand total of 80 cents.
Grand total of 80. Cool. What give us the update on the episode rankings? Where's everything standing?
This is a little shocking to me, actually, that in last place, this is round 4. Last time we booted out the Beagle Birthday Massacre and inserted the Infernal Internship of Mark Beeks.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the rankings. In last place this week was the pilot, Woohoo, with 9%. And next up, it with 18% is the Great Dime Chase. 31% Infernal Internship of Mark Beeks, and then the winner, 42%, House of the Lucky Gander.
Interesting.
So the pilot episode is out.
Interesting.
you know, and I've been listening to some of the other podcasts and reading reviews online about Mark Beeks, and that episode went over really well. We were kind of harsh on it in the last episode, where I was, more than Mike was. And I understand, especially our age demographic, really grabbing hold of it and understanding the satire of the whole episode and loving it in that sense.
Yeah.
So I can see why it's getting a high vote here. But the pilot was great. I choose the pilot over most of the other choices here. So I'm surprised that one's going, but it is. So Woohoo is out. And this episode, The Living Mummies of Tothra, is now in. So head over to Twitter and cast your vote on your favorite episode out of those four episodes.
Yeah, definitely do that. Thanks to everybody who's been participating in those. We really appreciate it. Cool. We're actually going to take a bit of a break coming up. So there won't be any episodes for the next, at least the next couple weeks. Because there are no new episodes of DuckTales for a little while, probably until December. And then maybe another break after that. So so we're going to take a little bit of a breather, and we're going to come back with a classic DuckTales episode the next time you hear from us. Which episode are we going to do, Curtis?
We are going to talk about Earthquack, which is the one about the Terraformians. To tie in, we'll do a little comparing of the two episodes, mm-hmm. tie in with the other Terraformians episode from the new DuckTales. Cool. Here is the episode description. Strange underground creatures settle under Duckburg and cause earthquakes for fun. Scrooge and his nephews go down to stop them.
Awesome. So we'll get to see sort of the direct comparison to Terror of the Terraformians. Mm-hmm. And how those two stack up against each other, and that should be fun. That should be really cool to jump in there and talk about that.
I think so.
Awesome. Well, I guess that does it for this episode. Thank you guys for listening, and we will catch you on the next one.
See you next afternoon.
Don't forget, you can stay up to date with all the latest DuckTales news by heading to cartoonafternoon.com, where you'll find everything DuckTales and Disney cartoon related for the shows that we cover. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/tuneafternoon, as well as on Twitter at tuneafternoon. And if you want to send us an email, you can do that by sending us an email at tuneafternoon@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Twitter. You can find me at Curtis Findlay, KURTISFINDLAY.
And I'm on Twitter at ArcWulf, ArkWulf. And don't forget that we are part of the Thunderquack Podcast Network. Head to thunderquack.com to check out all the other great podcasts in our network. And if you want to support us, you can do that two ways. First, by heading to store.thunderquack.com to pick up some merch. Or you can head to patreon.com/thunderquack. And pledge your support over there. It's a monthly pledge. As low as $1 a month gets you access to the exclusive Thunderquack podcast, as well as the Thunderquack Patreon Facebook group. So that's patreon.com/thunderquack. And thank you to everybody who does support us over there.
Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon is not associated with the Disney Company in any way. All characters, titles, music, and everything is all copyright of their respective owners. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon.